Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Gopi Janavalabha Giribaradhari. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jamuna Tiravanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. Jashoda Nandana Vraja Janaranjana. J Jamunatiravanachari Jamunatiravanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraya Kacharya Stotra Sata Shri Shri Madhavai Charanaravindam Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraya Kacharya Stotra Sata Shri Shri Mad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Prem se kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai. Sri Vrindavan Mathura Dhama ki jai. Shri Navadvip Mayapur Dhama ki jai. Shri Navadwarka Puri Dhama ki jai. Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarka Dish ki jai. Shri Shri Jagannath Baladev Subhada Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Parama Karuna Gaur Nitai Ki Jai Ganga Mai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Maharani Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada's Transcendental Book Distribution Ki Jai Sri Brihat Mirdanga Ki Jai Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Brinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. The king of books, Granth Raj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Goranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamoham Bande Shri Gurum Dinataranam Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyade Shatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunita Ananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Sri Sri Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Ji Ki Jai Shri Shri Rukmini Dwarkadish ki jai. Vanchakalpaturubhascha kripa sindhu vyayavacha patitanam pavane vyo vaishnave vyo namo namaha. So we'll be reading from the next chapter of fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The canto is entitled Creation of the Fourth Order. Chapter 7 is the sacrifice performed by Daksha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we'll be reading texts 1 and 2, being that text 2 contains the purport by Srila Prabhupada.
First, we will read the chapter summary of this chapter 7, the sacrifice performed by Daksha. Being pacified by the words of Brahma, Lord Shiva forgave the offenses of the demigods and invited by Bhrigu, Lord Shiva, along with the demigods, sages, and Lord Brahma, went to the sacrificial arena. Daksha, his body being joined by Lord Shiva's arrangement, being joined to the head of a goat, returned to consciousness. Being fully purified by seeing Lord Shiva, Daksha offered him repentant prayers. Being pardoned by Lord Shiva, Daksha again resumed the sacrifice, and Lord Vishnu immediately appeared. After Lord Vishnu accepted the oblations of sacrifice, Daksha, the priests, the sages, the siddhas, the wife of Daksha, Prasuti, the governors of various planets, the great mystics, the personified Vedas, the fire god, the demigods, the Gandharvas, the Vidyadharas, and the Brahmanas all offer respectful prayers of glorification to the Lord. After being philosophically instructed by Lord Vishnu, Daksha worshipped first Lord Vishnu, then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and satisfied all other demigods and assembled persons, and the sacrifice thus ended in peace and harmony. Maitreya tells Vidura that after giving up her body, Sati took birth as Himavati, the daughter of the Himalayas, and remarried her husband, Lord Shiva. At the end of the chapter, we find what's called the Phala Stuti, the blessing prayer. In conclusion, Maitreya says, if one hears and again narrates with faith and devotion this story of the Daksha Yajna as it was conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu, then certainly he is cleared of all contamination of material existence. So text 1. Maitreya Vacha Ityajena Nunitina Bhavena Parituṣyata Abhyadhyayi Mahabaho Prahasya Shruyatamiti. The sage Maitreya said, O mighty armed Vidura, Lord Shiva, being thus pacified by the words of Lord Brahma, spoke as follows in answer to Lord Brahma's request. Text 2. Please repeat. Mahadeva Uvacha Na Agham Praja Isha Balanam Varnaye Na Anuchintaye Deva Maya Abhibhutanam Danda Tatra Dhrita Mahadeva Vacha Nagham Prayesha Balanam Varnayena Nuchintaye Devamaya Bibhutanam Dandastatra Dhrito Maya Mahadeva Vacha Nagham Prayesha Balanam Varnayena Nuchintaye Devamaya Bibhutanam Dandastatra Dhrito Maya Mahadeva Vacha Nagham Prayesha Balanam Varnayena Nuchintaye Devamaya Bibhutanam Dandastatra Dhrito Maya Devamaya Vibhutanam, Devamaya Vibhutanam, Dandastatra Dhrito Maya. Ladies?
Mahadeva Uvacha. Varnayena nuchintaye devamaya vibhutanam dandasatra vitomaya.
Someone else?
Mahadeva vacha nagham prayesha balanam Varnayena nuchintaye devamaya vibhutanam.
So, translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The text one. Maitreya. Maitreya. Uvacha said. Iti. Thus. Ajena. By Lord Brahma. Anunitena. Pacified. Bhavena. By Lord Shiva. Paritushata. Fully satisfied. Abhyadhai. Said. Mahabaho, O Vidura, Prahasya, smiling, Shruyatam, listen, Iti, thus. The sage Maitreya said, O mighty armed Vidura, Lord Shiva, being thus pacified by the words of Lord Brahma, spoke as follows in answer to Lord Brahma's request. Please repeat, Mahadeva. Lord Shiva. Uvacha said. Na. Not. Agham. Offense. Praja Isha. O Lord of created beings. Balanam. Of the children. Varnaye. I regard. Na. Not. Anuchintaye. I consider. Devamaya, the external energy of the Lord. Abhibhutanam, of those deluded. Danda, rod. Tatra, there. Dhrita, used. Maya, by me. Translation. Lord Shiva said, My dear father Brahma, I do not mind the offenses created by the demigods. Because these demigods are childish and less intelligent, I do not take a serious view of their offenses, and I have punished them only in order to right them. Purport. There are two types of punishment. One is that which a conqueror imposes on an enemy. And the other is like that a father imposes on his son. There is a gulf of difference between these two kinds of punishment. Lord Shiva is by nature a Vaishnava, a great devotee. And his name in this connection is Ashutosh. He is always satisfied, and therefore he did not become angry as if he were an enemy. He is not inimical to any living entity, rather, he always wishes the welfare of all. Whenever he chastises a person, it is just like a father's punishment of his son. Lord Shiva is like a father because he never takes seriously any offense by any living entities, especially the demigods. End of purport. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So before discussing this very important topic, I'd like to say a few words due to the fact of having the fortune once again to attend Ratha Yatra last week, and having come recently back from India, being in India for some time, more and more I had the realization this year, and for the past few years I've been very much thinking how, by being in these places, particularly Mayapur and Vrindavan, how it was very clear, was that expression, it dawned upon me, that the fact that we are able to go there, to be there, means actually that Mayapur and Vrindavan and all the holy places are also here in the West by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. Especially participating in a festival like Ratha Yatra, and in such a wonderful way that it is executed by this community. It is definitely clear that all the holy places are here by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, and how it is a matter of consciousness, just like Lord Chaitanya was told, as we read actually in the Gita, in one of the purports, but of course in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, he was told by Advaita Acharya, wherever you are is Vrindavan. So we see that definitely Srila Prabhupada has brought all the holy places to the West, and New Dwarka is undoubtedly an outstanding example of that. Although we call New Dwarka, every single one of Prabhupada's temples all over the world contains all the holy places. Next week we will be celebrating Julan Yatra, so Vrindavan will be here, and Balaram's appearance day, so the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram are also here, and Julan Yatra, Radha Govinda Julan Yatra, a festival originating in Vrindavan, and then of course Krishna Janmastami, Srila Prabhupada's Vyas Puja, then Radhastami, and we have Gaur Purnima, and Lord Nitananda's appearance day, and all the microphone. Oh, really? Okay. Okay. So it is a great, it is a particular feeling that by the magic of such an exalted personality like Srila Prabhupada, we are able to participate, to be part of these dhammas, of these dhams. And there is no difference. It is very clear, and again, as we go to India, for us, India means our temples, the ISKCON temples, and there is no difference. The same activities. Just like now we are meeting here, and this has brought Naimisharanya. Mm-hmm. So the sight of Naimisharanya is at this moment here because it is the consciousness of Naimisharanya that devotees are meeting to listen to the Bhagavatam, to discuss the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it is the same as the meeting of Maharaj Parikrit and Shukadev Goswami at the bank of the Ganges or Jamuna. So we are most grateful to all the devotees in all these temples, and particularly New Dwarka. It's outstanding and it shouldn't, New Dwarka being so opulent from one point of view, materially speaking, if we measure in gold and in gold and rubies and diamonds and that standard of opulence, we may not think like that. But as very nicely it was expressed yesterday in class, What was that statement? Seva will save us. That we should not, we say New Dwarka, and actually we had the opportunity some weeks ago to appreciate, to make a public appreciation of the devotees working at the gift shop here in New Dwarka. And I mentioned there that the first lesson in Krishna consciousness is we are not this body. But the second one could probably be we are not impersonal. That we say New Dwarka as a place, but Prabhupada taught us that all these pilgrimage places, all these great places are made so by the presence of the devotees. So it is very wonderful, although there is opulence in one sense in New Dwarka. The main opulence is the devotees. And what is there in the devotees? These festivals and the whole activity in New Dwarka, daily activity. There is so much happening, we may say, in New Dwarka. So much service happening in New Dwarka. And it is only a symptom of the, and an expression of the sacrifice, efforts, and most, more than anything, the devotion of the members of the community. And it is like this, of course, we don't, it is like this all over the world, in all of the Krishna conscious centers. And those of us who have the service of having to visit several of these places, we can see that in one way or the other, Srila Prabhupada has touched the hearts of all the devotees, all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement, and it is manifested in that service attitude. I think I mentioned it. Anyway, I was appreciating very much yesterday's class as what is the sacrifice, reminding us again, Surya Prabhu was reminding us again about the sacrifice for this age. And what is the attitude? The sacrifice is the chanting of the holy name, the propagation of the holy name, and this chanting. This is the yajna, and it is very closely intertwined, related to service, to a practical service, which is what Prabhupada instructed us to do, and which is a big risk also. He always mentioned this, the risk of preaching. There is so much risk in preaching. The main risk being forgetting Krishna once again. That risk could be there. Although we'll read an interesting purport today in that regards. Anyway, I don't want to extend too long with the class either. And it is a very complex topic what we have today, which I'll make it short. But I just wanted to express my deep appreciation for the devotees in New Dwarka, that it is so nice one finds such shelter. That is the main thing. The shelter of the spiritual sky, of the spiritual world, is very nicely found here in New Dwarka, as in all the other temples of Srila Prabhupada. But New Dwarka has a special feature of being a pilot temple, very big responsibility. The whole world takes instructions from New Dwarka in so many ways. And we appreciate very much that the devotees here are coming up to that standard of being an example of devotion to Lord Krishna and Prabhupada for the whole world. So the text of today, Lord Shiva said, "My dear father, Brahma, I do not mind the offenses created by the demigods because these demigods are childish and less intelligent. I do not take a serious view of their offenses, and I have punished them only in order to right them." In the purport, Prabhupada speaks, there are two types of punishment. One is that which a conqueror imposes on an enemy, and the other is like that a father imposes on his son. So this brings about, And of course, this whole section of the offense by Daksha of Lord Shiva and all what ensued, all what happened, brings the topic of punishment, the very important topic of punishment, into light. Yesterday, as I was just very quickly and having very little time, which I regret, because this is actually our life and soul to dive deep into the philosophy of the Bhagavatam, but the practical service that we were all also speaking about sometimes does not allow all what we would want. But just jotting down some topics, some related to punishment and chastisement. It is so important in society, and we have here a society of Krishna consciousness. So punishment and chastisement, and I think we all have sufficient experience of how important it is. We may have been at some time or other on either side of the fence, on being, and more sides, so many sides, on being perhaps an aggressor in the eyes of some, or a victim in your own estimation, or being on the position to chastise and punish, or being on the side of receiving punishment and chastisement. So we can see how much that affects us. And very nice how Srila Prabhupada once again, every single line, every single idea that comes from His divine grace is just wonderful whenever He immediately in such short statements, immediately so much brings you into mind. There are two types of punishment, and one is that which a conqueror imposes on an enemy, and the other is like that a father imposes on his son. So that brings a whole topic of the group classification of punishment, classification also of crime, of offense. Anyway, I will read some ideas that I jotted down, and there are a few purposes. We will not have time at all. And that's not that I'm requesting more time, neither do I want to have more time. But there wouldn't be any, you know, enough time in a whole day and in several days to discuss all this matter. I will just read this. Punishment means justice and a legal or judicial system. And we may think, what is the need? What is the purpose? What is the value of punishment? What are the consequences of punishment? Who is punishable? And then we see there punishment of the devotee. That brings a few things to mind. There's just like Prabhupada said today about a father punishing the son. So Prabhupada in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a purport where he speaks about that. The sufferings, Prabhupada says, a karmi suffers the result of his own fruitive reactions, whereas a devotee is reformed by chastisement directed by the Lord himself. The sufferings of an orphan and the sufferings of a beloved child of a king are not one and the same. An orphan is really poor because he has no one to take care of him, but a beloved son of a rich man, although he appears to be on the same level as the orphan, is always under the vigilance of his capable father. So like that, it is a very long purport. First Canto, chapter 5, text 19. So then, again, who is punishable? That's another idea. Who deserves to be punished? And generally we say, well, the culprit, he must be punished. And that brings the whole idea of how to determine culpability. Who can punish? That's another point. And generally it is the superiors and authorities. And interesting because, I just copied some purports here and there, some ideas. And in chapter 17 of the Bhagavad Gita, text 15, very interesting statement by Srila Prabhupada. For example, we all understand that the teacher, the guru, is the authority of the disciples, of the students, and he has the right to chastise, to instruct. But that, even that is not absolute. And Prabhupada, in this text, 15, chapter 17, he says, one should not speak in such a way as to agitate the minds of others. Of course, when a teacher speaks, he can speak the truth for the instruction of his students. But such a teacher should not speak to those who are not his students if he will agitate their minds. So anyway, these superiors, these those who are in the position of chastising, are some of them are mentioned in the famous verse, Gurur nasasyat svajano nasasyat, pita nasasyat janani nasasyat, daivam natatsyan napatischa sasyan, namochayet ya samupeta mrittum. In another context, but it's the same idea, of who is the superior. One who cannot deliver his dependents from the path of repeated birth and death should never become a spiritual master, a father, a husband, a mother, or a worshipable demigod. So those are also entitled to chastise. But of course, here's a very important duty they have. Not only the right to chastise, but the duty to liberate. Then we can think of types of punishment. And there would be proper and improper punishment, or just and unjust. Just like, for example, the Sitaram Lila. So much punishment was there. And so much of it, we may think it is unjust. Ambarish Maharaj and Durvasa Muni. Ambarish, anyway, we know this story, and there is punishment there. There is chastisement by Durvasa Muni of Ambarish Maharaj. And that was unjust. And then comes the chastisement by Sudarshan Chakra of Durvasa Muni. Then we have Dhruva Maharaj. And there's several instances, because on the one hand, Suruchi, his stepmother, chastised him, and that was unjust. But on the other hand, he himself, he was attacking at some point the Yakshas, and he had to be stopped also from chastising them. We have a very interesting story. We just said that Guru is entitled to chastise. So we have a very interesting story just to underscore the part of the Guru and the teacher and the seniors. In Nectar of Instruction, before reading this short story, this short statement, in Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada speaks because chastisement, punishment, criticism, it is all on the same level. So Prabhupada says, when one criticizes a pure devotee, he commits an offense, Vaishnava Parad, that is very obstructive and dangerous for those who desire to advance in Krishna consciousness. A person cannot derive any spiritual benefit when he offends the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. Everyone should therefore be very careful not to be jealous of an empowered Vaishnava or a Shuddha Vaishnava. It is also an offense to consider an empowered Vaishnava an object of disciplinary action. It is offensive to try to give him advice or to correct him. One can distinguish between a neophyte Vaishnava and an advanced Vaishnava by their activities. The advanced Vaishnava is always situated as the spiritual master, and the neophyte is always considered his disciple. The spiritual master must not be subjected to the advice of a disciple, nor should a spiritual master be obliged to take instructions from those who are not his disciples. So we see here, just as a guru is not to instruct those who are not his disciples, he's not obliged to take instructions from those who are not his disciples, and this applies in certain ways. This brings up the whole topic of chastisement, punishment, in those levels. So then to this very, very interesting story where we see the other side of the coin is from 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the story of Prishadra. Very interesting. Prishadra was instructed by his guru to protect a cow in the night. So it is mentioned he went there with a sword. It was like Amavasya. It was the dark moon. It was very dark that night, that particular night. So he heard the roar of a tiger, and being very valiant, Virasan, he was, anyway, this Prishadra being very brave, he rushed to the site where the cow was and where he heard the roar of a lion, of the tiger. And he couldn't see anything, barely something, so I guess he noticed the big body, and he struck with the sword. And no more roar of the tiger. The day ended. The morning came, and when they all went to see, he had killed the cow. Big mistake. So the guru, Vasishtha, no small personality, Vasishtha, became very angry, very upset, and cursed him. That was his punishment. He cursed him. So we take up from there just a few sentences from the Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada to see the other side. So again, the idea of punishment brings about so many things. Although Prishadra had committed the sin unknowingly, his family priest, Vasishtha, cursed him, saying, "In your next life, you shall not be able to become a Kshatriya. Instead, you shall take birth as a Shudra because of killing the cow." And just imagine the guru cursing the disciple. How strong that is. But, purport. It appears that Vasishtha was not free from tamoguna, the mode of ignorance. As the family priest or spiritual master of Prishadra, Vasishtha should have taken Prishadra's offense very lightly. But instead, Vasishtha cursed him to become a Shudra. It is the duty of a family priest not to curse a disciple, but to give him relief through the performance of some sort of atonement. Vasishtha, however, did just the opposite. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that he was Durmati. In other words, his intelligence was not very good. Bhagavatam continues, when the hero Prishadra was thus cursed by his spiritual master, he accepted the curse with folded hands. Then, having controlled his senses, he took the vow of Brahmacharya, which is approved by all great sages. Thereafter, Prishadra gained relief from all responsibilities, became peaceful in mind, and established control over all his senses, etc. Thus, Prishadra, fully satisfied in full knowledge, always keeping his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, achieved pure devotional service to the Lord and began traveling all over the world without affection for material activities, as if he were deaf, dumb, and blind. With this attitude, Prishadra became a great saint. And when he entered the forest and saw a blazing forest fire, he took this opportunity to burn his body in the fire. Thus he achieved the transcendental spiritual world. He did not have to be born again to become a Shudra as he was cursed. So that's very interesting because of his attitude. So, again, there are all these chastisement, Puru. We have the story of Puru also in Bhagavatam. Manduka Muni and Yamaraj. And then one other, and there could be so many more regarding unjust punishments we're talking about. We have also in Chaitanya Lila, Haridas Thakur, and so many attempts of punishment in Krishna Lila also. And then Prabhupada will also mention Lord Jesus Christ as someone punished, and in this case, unjustly. And, of course, anyways, we have the Pandavas we have. So, more topics, and with that we'll end. I'll just read the list. There was so much more. And maybe one more story I want to read from Prabhupada. One more quote, and we will end. We have apparently mild or pseudo-punishment. Sometimes we hear of very grave offenses in the Bhagavatam, like killing, murdering. And, for example, the case of Ashwatthama. And then the punishment was to cut off his mustache. Well, that's, anyway, it brings a whole topic of discussing punishment and what that means also. Of course, he was also exiled, and it is said that he's still alive. But we've heard several times, Rukmi also, and we've heard several times of this cutting of the hair and the mustache as as a very big punishment. Yesterday we heard also in this same vein, but it was very funny to hear yesterday of a major offense, major, what was that? Yes, a major offense, major crime of putting, what was that? Was that sprouts? Brussels sprouts on the spaghetti. So that brings us to our next point of severity and of the offense and the correspondence of the punishment. Severity of offense and correspondence of punishment. Then we see witnesses and evidence, and of course it's very quickly we know that Paramatma is the first witness, and Srila Prabhupada made a very strong point of this, of his own experience with Professor Urquhart in his youth when Prabhupada was studying, how the professor was saying, criticizing karma, how karma makes no sense because who's there? You know, you're paying now for something supposedly you did at some point, but who's the witness to that? So anyway, Bhagavatam explains that Surya, Agni, Kam, Marut, Deva, Soma, Sandhya, Ahani, Disha, Kam, Ku, Swayam, like that. So the sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, Supersoul himself. All witness the activities of the living entity. And Prabhupada says in a purport in fifth canto, he does not know the living entity that his disobedience is witnessed by different demigods not seeing the future punishment awaiting him. The psychology of the accused. Sometimes someone is accused and the psychology is, oftentimes we see that someone who is accused of an offense or a crime has the tendency to feel, to act as a judge and jury, instead of understanding that that's not the position. One who is accused is not to judge himself or to be the jury. So that's another idea. Then there is the idea of acceptance and rejection of punishment. Sometimes, just like Prishadra, he accepted the punishment, but sometimes the tendency is there to reject it. Perhaps sometimes it must be rejected. So there's a whole, so many things that can be said. Then there is revenge and retaliation. There is cover-up. I couldn't find out a better word, more technical for cover-up. But that's another thing. Correction is there. Repudiation, the sin should be repudiated. Sometimes this is a big problem, that society does not repudiate. There has been a crime and the criminal is accepted in society and the crime is not repudiated. And this is adding insult to injury, as it is said. Then there is repentance, a very nice statement in the sixth canto. When so repentance must be there, and Prabhupada says that in the sixth canto, actually, how there should be regret. He says, it is the duty of a pure devotee to regret his past sinful activities. Not only should one give up his past bad habits, but he must always regret his past sinful activities. So that regret and repentance, in some, that should be there. Apology is another item related to this topic. Forgiveness also is related. Punishment and sentiment. Arbitration, mediation, reconciliation. So we will end with this idea of punishment and sentiment, just how punishment, another angle given to us by Srila Prabhupada, how it should be understood in regards to sentiment, and we will end there. Prabhupada says, one must be very careful even with this sneha or charity or philanthropy. There is a story, it may be fact, that a boy was raised by his aunt very liberally. Then gradually the boy became in bad association a thief, and the aunt was encouraging, oh, it is a very good business. You're bringing so many things without any labor. So out of affection, she did not chastise the boy when he was stealing. Then he, at the end, became a murderer. So he committed a murder. Then when he was to be hanged, the government man inquired, what is your last wish? Now I want to speak with my aunt through the ear. I want to speak in her ear. He was allowed. And the aunt was coming crying that my nephew is going to be hanged. So he caught up her ear with the teeth and cut it. He jumped on her and cut the ear. So he said, "My dear aunt, if you would have chastised me in the beginning, then today this position that you are crying and I am going to be hanged, this would not have happened. But you did not do that. Therefore, you are uselessly crying now, and this is your punishment. I cut off your ear with the teeth." Prabhupada says, a very good instruction. So the so-called sneha, if it is not properly done, nature's regulation is so strict that you cannot avoid the consequence. That is not possible. These are practical examples. I have seen another example. In front of our residence, there was another neighbor. So the old man has his daughter, had his daughter-in-law. So she was beating her one child. So I inquired through my servant, why this young woman is beating her child? Then the servant brought me the news that this boy gave a paratha to his elder brother who is suffering from typhoid inside the house. In typhoid fever, solid food is forbidden strictly, but the boy did not know. He asked his younger brother that, "If you steal one paratha and if you give me, I am very much hungry." So he became very sympathetic to his brother and he gave the paratha, and the boy was ill. It aggravated the illness. So as soon as the mother heard that he gave a paratha to him, she began to beat him. "Why did you give?" Now one may say it was charity, it was affection and sympathetic, but the result was beating with shoes. So if we do not know where charity should be given, then where affection should be there, then we are under the laws of nature. We shall be punished if it is not properly done. There is punishment. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari. Thank you for your patience.